Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with H. Rothenberg, owner of Triple C Camp. Also joining us is my brother, mental game expert, Dr. Patrick Cohn. H. is here to give us his top post-game tips for sports parents.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, H, and hi, Patrick.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Now, tell me a little bit about what you do and what you've done in sports in the past.
Sure, it's my pleasure. Lisa and Patrick, I've spent the last 20-plus years focused on developing children as student-athletes, as well as developing their parents to help them work with the student-athletes. My big focus career-wise has been that I directed day and overnight camps in the Midwest for 11 years with a very strong focus on sports and sports development at those summer camp programs. And then for the last 9 years, myself and my wife had owned and directed Triple C Camp in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is a day camp. And all during the course of that 20-plus years, I've run instructional basketball programs for primarily boys and girls, but a little bit more of a focus on the boys' side for 5th through 8th graders. So there's a lot of growth and development through that time, and certainly growth and development of the parents as well as the student-athletes.
I'd like to hear about that. But let's get on to your tip. I mean, it's interesting that you talk about growth and development of the parents. Well, actually, why don't you tell us what you mean by that? You mean from the time their kids are in 5th to 8th grade?
Well, I think even younger than that, you know, when our children, I personally have a 12-year-old and an 18-year-old, but professionally as well, like I said, I've been working with kids of this age range for the last 20-plus years, and what I've found is very often at 5, 6, 7 years old, the parents put their children in for some activity and exercise and some recreation. They'll put them into some sports programs. And then as they get older, the parents, as well as the kids, the investment steps up a notch. And I
Right.
think that that's when the growth and development, certainly of the child, is important, and that the parents understand how important the activity is for the kids. And more parents, I find, take on the whether it's responsibilities of the sporting activity or it's the actual experience of the activity, practice, and or a game, parents take on too much for themselves versus releasing their child to the game.
And you're saying that happens as the child gets older?
Well, I think so. As the kids get more invested and it gets more competitive and they see more things that are going around them. However, I look at that as the opportunity to really grow them more as people off the court or off the field than what's going on the court or on the field, because sports is such a great parallel to life. It's so important that I think parents put their children in a situation that is safe emotionally as well as physically, and put them with the right coaches who are going to develop them for life, because, you know, I guess it's, and you guys might know these statistics better than I do, but I think it's about 99.9% of the time, these kids are not going to become professional athletes. There certainly are those few who get that opportunity, but it is few and far between.
Right. I just want to ask you one quick question. When you say the parents get too involved and they don't, I think you used the term release the kids, can you give me an example of what you mean when you say that?
Sure. I think there's yeah, absolutely. There's lots of examples. I was actually at we operate a developmental basketball league currently for 5th through 8th graders here in the Charlottesville, Virginia area where the University of Virginia is. And I was at a practice last night. We've given each one of our student-athletes player notebooks. And we had our first practice last night, and they had team clinics a week ago, and this is when they got their player notebooks. And the first page inside the player notebook talks about the commitment that the player is making to the league. They need to sign it, and then their parents need to sign it, that they've talked about it as a family. And it was interesting last night coming in and observing some of the practices. The parents were walking around with their student-athletes' notebooks. The parents, I had two parents specifically hand me their child's commitment to what he was committing to in the league in regards to his behavior, his choices, his academic commitments, his respect and responsibility commitments, and the parents were handing them to me as opposed to the child. And we've actually already done parent clinics for all of our parent participants as well as our child participants, where we talk to them about giving this activity over to their child and that this opportunity is for their kids to grow and develop. And it's really important that the parents, you know, this is growth and development of the parents, where if they can just step back and say, this is an opportunity for my child to make their, make or break their own successes or their own failures. And it's also a safe place where they can make their own successes or their own failures. It's a very safe place. You know, how many places in life do we just say to our kids, this is yours? You know, you can't do that as much with, you know, with other choices, whether it's going to the movies or alcohol and tobacco, or what friends they're hanging out, or who, you know, you can't just say, you can go see whatever movie you want to. You can't do that. We need to be influential in our children's lives. But sports is a very safe place, again, assuming that we found the right coach, to take care of our child or student athlete, then from there we need to really let it be their experience.
Right. Well, interesting. Well, let's move on to our topic. Let's hear your top tips for sports parents in terms of post game.
Sure. And when you mention post game, Lisa, the first thing that actually comes to mind for me is even post practice, because I believe that practice doesn't make perfect, but practice makes permanent. And the more that you do something a certain way, the more permanent it becomes. So I challenge parents to practice their choices and their behavior with their kids post-game, just like they would, you know, for practice as they would after a game. So parents are normally picking up their kids after games if their child's not driving. And when you said post-tips from games, I was assuming you meant relationship between parent and child. Are you thinking about for coaches or the student-athletes?
Oh, no. We're talking about, you know, how to talk to the, you know, how to deal with the kids post-game.
Sure. Yeah, for parents, what are some of the top things that you do that you talk to your parents about in those meetings that you have with the parents?
Sure. I think the first thing that we talk about with our parents is to give their child time and space. And I think, Dr. Cohen, that you call this a cool-down period within some of the work that you do. And it's really important for the parents to give their kids some time. And what I found is that the more physical the sport is, the more time and space a child needs after practice or after a game before they're going to be ready to talk about it. You know, you've got an individual sport, whether it's a tennis or golf. You know, the kids might need a few hours. They might need to have dinner and have a bath, and kind of as they're getting ready for bed or kind of doing some things around the house in the evening, perhaps that's a time to sit down and kind of talk about how that sports experience was. An activity like football, if you had a Friday night game, they might not be ready to talk about it until the end of the weekend, because that physical and all the emotion and energy and effort that went into that 2 to 3 hour experience, and then a sport like football or perhaps wrestling that is so physically intense, you know, they might not even realize that they have family members or that people need to eat or other things, because they're still coming down from that physical, emotional experience. So that's a big thing that I always encourage families to do, is give them time and space.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other big thing the families need to watch out for is the proper diet. And we talk a lot about diet before an activity or an experience. We try to be big proponents of during and after the post-game meals, and you know, in regards to certainly making sure that we're hydrating a lot during and after meals, or excuse me, after a competition, but then also making sure that they're getting ready and prepared for the following days.
Right. Well, those are good tips. Patrick, do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, I think we're very much in line doing the same things. We also talk about, I think, embedded in that is be careful not to, yeah, I think out of parents' willingness to help the kids, they want to focus on the mistakes and just correcting mistakes. And,
that's right.
And, you know, and I think parents are well-meaning, right? They want to help their kids improve, and so they point out some mistakes, and then the kids, you know, unfortunately, the kids, you know, as we talked about in previous, you know, shows, they can take it pretty personally, right? or it can lead them to fear mistakes. Mm. And you certainly don't want kids to have this fear of making mistakes out of, you know, concern for what the coach is going to say. One of the coaches that I train at the soccer club level, she said 75% of the kids have fear of failure.
That's right.
The reason why they have fear of failure is because they're afraid of getting benched, they're afraid of getting yelled at, they're afraid of what the coach is going to do if they don't perform up to certain expectations or if they make mistakes.
And how that's going to affect them in future practices and future games and the pecking order on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the parents are watching that. And then the parents, you know, some parents even have consequences for their kids at home if they didn't perform properly on the athletic field or on the court. And certainly that's not something that any of us are going to advocate for, because that is certainly parents that are not have the well balance. I think that a lot of the families probably that listen to your show are ones who are really out there trying to do it right, but they're seeing some of these other families. And I think one of the things, as much as you can, is find your peer adults, find the other parents that are sitting in the stands, and talk to them about honoring the game. And part of the honoring the game is treating your child, you know, in an appropriate manner. But post-game tips, I think, is such a fantastic topic, because it can go in so many different directions, and part of it that we do, whether it's within my own home or what we train other parents to do, is that there's still expectations. Even though you're a student athlete, there's still expectations and responsibilities. Even though you might be a star athlete or you're just a participating athlete, it's not a free pass to walk away from other responsibilities, chores around the house, certainly homework. And that all has to be scheduled in. So one of the biggest, I think, it is part of post-game, but really recommendations that we make to families is to have family meetings at least once a week, and where everybody sits down and goes through the schedule for the week. And if a family is talking about when the different sporting events are, that's a time for the parent to bring in the schedule of when homework will be done, when other chores will be done, and remind them, okay, well, after this sporting event, you're going to be really tired, so we've got to make sure that you're feeding the dog that morning, or you know, you're out walking the dog, or maybe cleaning your room. Then, you know, if a game's on Friday night, maybe the room gets cleaned on Thursday night. And that happens and takes place. So, just another family tip is family meetings are really important.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that's actually a new tip that we haven't heard.
I'm glad that we're able to bring something new to you. Then, I've always found that a family meeting just helps certainly the family unit grow and develop. I recommend normally the families do that on Sunday evening if that fits into the family schedule. But I think that's kind of the beginning of the new week when everybody kind of looks at reloading and recharging, and most families are together on Sunday night. So whether you're a single parent or you're in a nuclear family or even an extended family, everybody's got schedules, everybody's got logistics, kids are being driven different places, different parents have volunteer meetings and things that they've got going, and I think it's helpful too for the kids to hear all the different events that the parents have going on during the course of the week. So we recommend.
Do you think how old did you say your kids are?
My personal children are 12 and 18.
That's what I thought. Do you think that the teenagers are open to family meetings?
Well, this is a good question, Lisa, and really my standard answer is the teenagers aren't in charge in the house.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a house where the teenagers are in charge, then you have to evaluate that and sit down and talk about it and remind what the expectations are, because who's still paying for the roof over the head?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you have built a culture within your household and within your family of family time, whether that's game night or family dinner night, I mean, these are recommended things, not just by people in the sports community, but certainly psychologists, across the country, is the need for family quality time. So you can incorporate a game night or a family dinner night along with your family meeting, and just, this is what we're doing. And I think the other side of it is make it fun.
Right.
But other pieces of that family meeting, in addition to schedule, I think it's okay to sit down with your kids and talk to them and ask them how they feel like things are going. How are things going within the house in regards to relationships? and give them the opportunity to talk about it. They might not talk about it right away, so the parents might need to encourage it a little bit or share how they're feeling about certain situations or certain things that have happened within the family. But I think it's important that families spend that time just sitting down the way you do it at the kitchen table, or you do it sitting in the living room at the couches. You know, people have their opportunity to share how they're feeling. Or maybe somebody, you know, one of the siblings said something or did something that really hurt somebody else's feelings. Parents want to create a safe and comfortable space for their kids to share how they're feeling and what's going on for them.
Right. No, I agree with you. I'm just not sure that the teenagers are always on board.
Oh, you know what? And I think when you look at every family, there's certainly going to be somebody or something that's not perfect. There's
right.
No doubt about it. And there are our daughter is 18 years old. She's a senior in high school and a high school basketball player that won't be playing in college, but she's a captain of her varsity basketball team. And so she's a student athlete and has been all throughout her career. But like I said, we've just grown this culture within our family that this is what we do.
Right.
And so, and what it does for us is it gets everybody on the same page. And, for example, tonight my wife and I are going to a Jimmy Buffett concert. And so our kids are doing dinner on together. The two of them are having dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was talked about at the family meeting, that mom and dad were going to be going out to dinner before the concert. And so it's important for them to know and understand and that there's expectations for them in regards to the way that they're going to handle the dinner experience.
Right. Well, we kind of got off topic. But
I tend to rabbit trail, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, but it is an interesting idea. Well, thanks a lot for joining us today. You've had some great tips.
Well, if there's anything that I can ever do to help you guys in the future, please let me know. I love what you do on your website, Dr. Cohn, and the impact and the influences you're making in the children's lives across our great country.
Hey, thanks a lot, H.
Thank you, sir.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.